Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, April the 7th, of 2015. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know the time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, we're continuing with part two of the series, if you will, or the message entitled Magnum Opus. Magnum Opus, or the Great Work. Now, brothers and sisters, we went over part one yesterday, so hopefully you had an opportunity to listen to part one. As you know, Magnum Opus, again, we're talking about the greatest work, or the work of the transmutation of the soul, the spiritual transmutation of the soul, or what some people call alchemy or salvation. Don't have time to go over part one. Also, when you're calling in to Blog Talk, I don't know if you're having the difficulties. It took me four times to get into today's show of calling. So you may experience that, so don't get thrown off by it. This network, this venue is an interesting venue, and I've been doing this Blog Talk Spreaker, AnyMeeting.com, YouTube, Tube Mobile for 5 years now. And there are glitches in the system. Things happen. So if you call, the system may say there's no show scheduled. It may say that, call, you can't get through. It told me that when I called the first time that there was something wrong with the system. I hung up and I called right back, until I got through. So you would have to do that. I want to mention that up front because I see a lot of people call in, and like today's show is almost 5 minutes off, meaning that 5 minutes, really a little bit more than 5 minutes, has elapsed before I was even able to log in of the show. And so the show will be, there's less time available to do the show. And little things like that happen in the system for whatever reasons. But make sure, my brothers and sisters, if you're persistent, if this is a message for you, make sure that you're persistent in pursuing that message so that way you can under, over, and understand what thus says the Word of God. Today, my brothers and sisters, we want to talk about the Latin cross, the medieval Latin cross. So there is what is called a Christogram to Christ because it is the Latinization of the chi or the prana or the ruach or the pneuma or the Holy Spirit. The Latinization, the satanizing of the Christ or the Christos. The Latin is Satan. So to Latinize something is to satanize something. So the Christos has been Latinized. What you have is a Latin Christ, a Latin version of the cross. You have a Latin. Everything that you have, that you worship, that you do today is Latin. It is Latin, so it is Satan. And it is very, very important that you under, over, and understand the Latinization or the calculus of the Christ or the cross or your salvation. Now, hopefully, all of those terms ruffled your feathers a little bit because you must understand the astro-archetype. That is the messianic occult underpinnings of the false Roman Catholic Church that has built and that is built based upon astral architecture or astral theology or astrophysics. Now, I've done many, many shows on that word astro that has to do with heavenly bodies or celestial bodies. And so the church is built to align with the stars. Let me say it again. The church is built to align with the stars. So is religion. So is Latin. Latinization, the Latinization is, again, the Satanization of the Christos or the Christ. Now, inside of this book, Magnum Opus, I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the Latinization of the Christos. This is the great work, the Latinization of the cross. Now, the Latinization is the Satanization. The Latinization is the Satanization. The Latinization is the Satanization. We talked about in part one the great work. We talked about the original religion. We're going to touch on that again. That's a separate book in itself. We talked about spiritual alchemy. That's a separate book. We talked about the repetition of the physical life, a.k.a. born again, to be born anew. So to be born again, the Latin version, Latinized salvation, Latinized Christos, Latinized cross, everything is Latin. It is the Latinization of this world that has prepared the world for the calculus of Satan. Now, those are just terms that mean nothing. Most people suffer from an overindulgence in information, just like King Solomon. With an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. So I'm not here to try to bludgeon you with a bunch of facts. I am here to bring about a transformation inside of the soul. That is what the great work is. The great work is the transmutation of the soul, not the Latinization of the soul. Your soul has been Latinized. It started with the Latin cross. Now, you take the cross, you think it's the Christian cross, right? You ever look at the crucifix of Christ? What is the crucifix? What is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? What is the symbol of Christianity? The symbol of Christianity is the cross. Where did it come from, brother? Where did it come from, sister? It is this three-dimensional representation that is the three-dimensional representation of the body of the Christ, or the Latinization of the Christ, or the triunity that comes from Egyptology. Now, you may be saying, and I hope to God that you're asking the question, what is the pre-Christian? What is pre-Constantine Christ? That's where I'm going. Where are you going? You see, the cross is shaped in a sign. It represents the simplest form of the crossing of two lines or two angels or two angles. Let me say that again. The cross represents the crossing of two lines. It represents the good and the bad, east, west, up, down, left, right, happy, sad, fat, skinny, duality. That's the cross, dualism. Now, brothers and sisters, we must under an understanding that this religious symbol is a representation of the what is called the kindling of the fire, or the kundalini. Now, the great work that everybody is talking about is the activation of the kundalini. Now, we have a crux. We have a problem. I address this problem inside of my book, Blood Alchemy, the blue bloods and the red bloods. Blue blood, hemocyanin. Now, I just read an article, and I saw it on NBC News. They was talking about the octopus that was just recently found in the Antarctic, in Antarctica. So this octopus was able to survive in sub-zero temperatures because of the blood that was inside this octopus. Now, this octopus has blue blood, like the horseshoe crab. The octopus has a copper-based blood, not an iron-based blood. The blood inside of this octopus that allows it to survive when most animals can't, no other octopus can survive, is hemocyanin, not hemoglobin. That is the Latinization of the blood. That is the oxygenization of the blood. Now, oxygen is one of the genetic codes or one of the genes of God. Now, the reason why I mentioned the blue blood is because that is the blood equivalent of the great work. So blood is congealed light, slowed down light. Now, the question you should be asking yourself is whether you are hemoglobin or hemocyanin. That's the cross. These two things is found everywhere on the planet. Duality. It's even in your blood. Some people are hemoglobin, iron. Some people are hemocyanin, copper. Which one are you? That's a cross where hemoglobin and hemocyanin cross each other. There's a cross where good and evil cross each other. There's a cross in the road where they intersect. That's the great work. The great work is the intersection of the duality to make one, new man, that it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. That's the great work. The great work is the new man. But the Latinization of the new man is trying to prevent you from achieving the great work by having you activate the old man in the form of activating the kundalini through the God of this world, the serpentine worship, the sine wave, and the Ouroboros. I talked about that in my other show and the other book, God and the Sine Wave. A sine wave goes up and down. It's not a straight line. And so most people don't understand magnum opus, the great work, the crossing of the lines. And it is this great work that has been Latinized and dumbed down so that way most people don't understand, starting with the cross. So if we start with the cross, the Christian cross, what we see is that the Christian cross, if you go back before the cross was ever invented, if we want to use that term, it is a symbol of what is called sacrifice or sacred fire. The kundalini, a symbol of the sun, it is representing lightning. It represents the god of lightning. It has many associations with the ox from ancient Egypt. It is associated with many hieroglyphic signs and symbols all the way back to Egypt, and the Egyptian Christians called the Copts, C-O-P-T-S, a Coptic. So out of Africa was a Coptic religion, predating Christianity by 500 years. So the Copts, these were the Christians of Egypt. Why do you think Yahushua went to Egypt? Most of you have never heard of the Copts, the C-O-P-T-S's, if you want to use it, if that's the word. So there is a Coptic language that predates Christianity. There is a Coptic church. There's a Coptic cross that predates Latin. But we have the Latin verb Vulgate. So the word Coptic, again, was changed by a new Latin word. So C-A-P-T became C-O, I'm sorry, C-O-P-T was Latinized. It became Coptus, T-U-S. So we don't have Coptic, we have Coptus. And then we have, you know, we don't have Christus, we have Christus. And so it is the Latinization of terms that changed its meaning. And this Latinization of an Egypt word, which actually means the estate or the house or the spirit of Ptah, P-T-A-H. And it is the Latinization of the Ruach or the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, that we must address when we're talking about the great work, because there are different spirits. And if we don't understand that this goes so deep, brothers and sisters, it is the, when we look at the emblem of the cross, for example, there's a book called The Worship of the Dead. The cross in the form of a crux, C-R-U-S, C-R-U-X, was carried in the hands of the Egyptians' priests and the pontiffs, all of the ancient Egyptians. Now, this cross was carried by the worshippers of Tammuz and the Babylonians. Now, in early Christianity, before Christianity ever came on the scene, brothers and sisters, the cross was already around and in existence. It was just Latinized to make it available, if you will. Now, inside of my book, The Origins or the Original Religion Before Christendom, I will do a separate show on the original religion of humanity before Christianity, Coptic. But if we don't understand, brothers and sisters, the Latin cross was not part of Christianity until the 7th century. And it was not embraced by Christianity until the 9th century. And so what we have is a Latinization of a previous cross. Now, I posted on my Facebook page all of the different symbols, even the swastika is a variation of the cross. Now, the cross, brothers and sisters, has been around for a long, long, long time. But if we understand, in the occult code of dualism, if we look at the duality of what the Latin character of the Greek chi, meaning everything is Latinized that we have today. That's where everything starts with. Now, what does that mean, brothers and sisters? For the average Joe, what does that mean? Well, there were 7 bishops, mainly from Portugal and what is now Spain, way back in 734 A.D., during the Muslim invasion of Iberia. Now, this is basic history, so I'm not going to bore you guys with this basic history. But going all the way back in history, we find that there was a papal bull. Now, I've done many shows on a papal bull. These papal bulls, P-A-P-A-L, bulls, B-U-L-S, these are basically like executive orders that Obama passes now, where the Pope has the authority to issue a papal bull that controls all world religions. Well, that was a pope called Calixtus. Pope Calixtus. Calixtus. And so he issued a papal bull. Basically, is the gives the Catholic Church power to regulate Christian sovereignty on the basis of quote unquote the Catholic authority. So the cross was engraved by a gentleman by the name of Scott Wolter, W-O-L-T-E-R. And this Latin cross was a manipulation of old crosses from old religions that worship other gods. So the cross stood for many different things, and it has taken on many different shapes. Now, there is what is called the Lorian cross. It is a cross with two bars, L-O-R-R, or the Lorraine, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E, the Lorraine, the Lorraine cross. This was instituted by a Latin, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's just say a Latin pope and a Latin general. And it first appeared in the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, known as the Knights of Malta. Malta, M-A-L-T-A. Now, like the Knights Templar, the Knights of Malta, again, had a cross. This cross is just like the Christian cross, but it has two lines on it instead of one. These were the Order of Christ, or the order of the Knights Malta. Then we have the Knights Templars. We got Freemasonry. All of these guys come from. We got the Crusades. All of these were different sects and different divisions. We got the Temple of Solomon. We got the Templars of Solomon. We got the Golden Order of Dawn. We got the Templars of the Order of Christ. So we got a lot of different organizations. They all stem from a Latin cross that was issued by the seven bishops. These seven bishops had control over seven cities, El Dorado, Antilia. There were seven cities. And each one of these cities have a different variation of a cross. Now, I posted the picture on my Facebook page of the different variations of the cross. And if this was a video or a visual, I could show you the different variations, which later became the Christian cross. Now, there is a Latin word called calus, or it's like the English word calculus. In fact, it is where we get the mathematical word calculus. Now, brothers and sisters, now remember, we live in a world of a triune hex. Math, music, and language. Math, music, and language are Latinizations of different forces that are expressed in math, music, and language. Now, I don't want to go any deeper. I talk about this a little deeper in the book. The Latinization of this world is the Satanization of this world. Now, calculus. It is the mathematical study of change. It is just like algebra and gematria or geometry. Now, brothers and sisters, strap in. I'm going to drop this nugget, and we're going to call it a show. Calculus, what is it? Calculus is mathematics, right? If you took calculus, any advanced course in mathematics, calculus is the study of functions and limits. It is a mathematical analysis. But what's the history of calculus? What's the history of math? What's the history of music? What's the history of language? Now, these are the three immutable laws of this world that I've studied my entire life when I first started studying over, and when I wanted to become an alchemist, and I was studying spiritual alchemy in Latin, and guess what, of all places? Exactly. The only where all this knowledge is found, you have to go over to Latin. You have to go and study in Latin. So you have to go to Italy. That's why I studied it at. And when I studied the foundation of calculus, again, my cookies were blown. Calculus is called the calculus of the infinitesimals, or the infinitesimal calculus. So the word calculus comes from the Latin calculus. It refers to a small stone used for counting. Now you can go to Google. You can type in the Latin, type in calculus. Where we get the English word calculus. Now, brothers and sisters, calculus, we know as math. But what is math? Now, think about what I'm saying. We know what math does. Math is a system of counting. But what is math? We know what math does, but we don't know what math is. We know what music does, but we don't know what music is. Calculus, brothers and sisters, and I don't even know if I should break this down any further, but the Latin word calculus is the method of calculations. Calculus is what is called an integral, Calculus is like the ability to integrate a calculus. It has to do, again, with this one word, in infinite, or infinitesimal. In fact, let me pull that one up. Let me get the correct pronunciation for you.
Infinitesimal.
One more time.
Infinitesimal.
And let me play that one more time.
Infinitesimal.
Infinitesimal. It has to do with immeasurably small quantums, quantas, frequencies, waves, about infinite, infinity. It is the departmentalization of infinity. This is the year of infinity. This is the year of the eight. So if I want to departmentalize infinity, if I want to take a part of God and put it into a box, that's calculus. That's Latin. That's Luciferian. Math, music, and language, brothers and sisters, are Luciferian constructs. Now, I know this is contrary to most people's theology, but if you do the study like I've done, calculus refers to what is called terra incognita, or like incognition. It is considered a fraud when you look at what this word means. Now, I'm just about out of time, but I need to make sure that you understand what calculus, what the mathematics, and what the toll, what the toll mix overstood that we don't. When we talk about calculus, again, we are talking about a calculating. We're talking about a something that is infinitesimal. We're talking about the departmentalization of infinity. Now, what is infinity? Now remember, God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all-present. That's the definition of what we call infinity or infinite. So it is the word, it means unlimited. It means unbounding. It means the infinite being, God. So infinite is the quality of being boundless. It means without space. Now, we live in space, we live in time, we live in mass, we live in matter. Those are not biblical concepts. Let me say that again. This is why, you know, oh, man. You know, brothers and sisters, let me be honest, man. Let me be honest. You know, guys, girls, listeners, one of the hardest things that I struggle with every day, I was posting, talking with Sister Helen on Facebook the other day. You know the thing that breaks my heart? You know why? You know why it's hard for me to sleep at night? You know the hardest thing Solomon said, with an increase of knowledge comes an increase of sorrow. My heart breaks every day because I wish you knew what I know. I can't tell you what I know because you wouldn't believe me. If I told you what I know, you wouldn't believe me. And you say, brother, well, you, man, you just tell me, man. You don't know. I might believe you. You guys don't even believe what I'm saying right now. Now you're trying to. I mean, I can sense it. I can feel it. I can feel the struggle that's going on in your brain right now. It's the same struggle I had 20 years to digest this information I'm telling you right now. 20 years of basically non. Now, I've been studying full-time, nonstop, no job for the last 5 years. Man, my family think I'm crazy. Marriage is going up and down because the wife doesn't understand why in the hell I spent all this time studying and researching this stuff. Because I'm trying to figure out a way to, I just can't tell it to you. I got to show it to you. And so these 10 books is my way of showing you step by step of where I'm going somewhere. So I'm trying to tell you that math, music, and language ain't your friend. Did that mean you stop using it? Of course not. How do I know what I know? I spend time in it. I'm still in it. I live in the dark every day. Every day I do bad stuff so I can show you, I can reveal it to you. It's like I go rob banks, and then I show you how bank robbers rob banks. So I hang out with Lucifer so I can show you how Lucifer works. Do you know how dangerous that is? I'm like a deep undercover spiritual operative. So I'm undercover in the Luciferians' camp. And if I get discovered, what then happens to a deep undercover operative? Let's say I infiltrate the Black Panther Party just so I can give information to the FBI, kind of like what happened with the Black Panther Party in real life with Huey Newton. They had an informer in the camp. Huey knew it, and he told the guy to keep going. So he was a double agent. So that's what I'm doing spiritually. And so if I get discovered, given these trade secrets of the Cosmogrator to God's people so God's people can see that they are really Christian Satanists, then bad things could happen. It's very, very important, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about this type of information, that you over and understand that what you are hearing simply requires a deep level of study. That is it. It's not secret. Everything I'm sharing with you, you can pretty much get most of it online or by going to a few bookstores and pick up the information. Now, early Christianity, during the centuries before Christianity, there was no such thing as what we call the cross. Obviously, Yahushua, again, was crucified on a tree. But we said it was the Greek word for cross in the New Testament manuscripts was what they call nomosacra. N-O-M-I-N-A-S-A-C-R-A. Nomosacra, again, means sacred name. Again, in Latin, it refers to the Coptic manuscript. There we go with that Coptic, because that existed before Christianity. But it was the same thing. It was referring to Christianity, but it was in its original language before it was translated into Latin. And so the Latin sound of IHS and XPS, these are, again, where we get the Greek Isis, which means Jesus, or what they call the Chi Sigma, which simply means the Latinization of the Holy Spirit. And so these terms have all been translated from the original language into Latin, and then from Latin into English or Spanish or whatever language. The only reason that you need to know all of this, the only reason why I'm explaining all this, so that way you can research it for yourself, and you can understand what I'm saying, which is simply this, that the representation of the cross as conceived in early Christianity came from Egypt Christians called the C-O-P-T-S. that was changed into Latin to C-O-P-T-U-S. That's why you got all of these black Egyptology saying that Christianity, the white man, stole the religion from the black man. There is some truth to that, although they didn't steal anything. It was Latinized. So the Egyptian priest who was on the DL, obviously, because Egyptology, they had many religions. They had many gods. And so it is this under open understanding of these many gods that we've got to go deeper down the rabbit trail. So tomorrow we'll continue with part three. And we'll go deeper into under open understanding how the Latinization and how the Constantine the Great and Helena of Constantinople changed what is called the Feast of the Cross. And how these feasts, again, manipulated the cross, because, again, the cross was really just kind of like a stake or a tree. And then it was changed into a symbol. But that's just scratching the surface of the Magnus Opus, the great work. Because we still got to continue how math, music, and language is used to manipulate the great work or to keep you from achieving the great work, and how your blood is used to assist you or to hinder you in achieving the great work. So, brothers and sisters, again, this is a great study. This is a great book. We're going to delve into a lot of information tomorrow as we continue to go down the rabbit trail of the great work. Magnum Opus. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Produced by Cornbeat.
Jehovah, let me mix.